questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I'm Atta, the host of this program. Shaykh Karimi is the guest speaker for today's discussion. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
So again, the important topic of the spread of Islam from the early times of Islam, the advent of Islam up until now. Was it through victory or colonization, or is better to say the power of the sword? What does historical facts tell us?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There is a kind of a stereotype, widespread among some of the people who, non-Muslims who have studied about Islam. And that is the claim that Islam, the claim that Islam is the religion of sword, meaning that the religion which was spread in different countries through power, through force. And on the other hand, the same people who are mainly Christians, they claim that Christianity is the religion of mercy and compassion and so on and so forth. So first of all, I would like to mention that, if they claim that we have a kind of an Islamic emperor in the history of mankind, so the same is true about Christianity. In some periods, in some times and era, in different places, we have some government in the name of Christianity.
Yes.
And then they killed a lot of innocent people, especially the Muslims when it comes to crusades. We know that, thousands of Muslims were innocently killed by the crusaders. But the point is that as Muslims, we do not attribute this to Christianity.
Yes.
So we need to distinguish between the acts done by the followers of the religion, and the true doctrines of that religion.
For example, Greek Empire or Roman Empire.
Exactly.
Or something, or Latin Empire, or something
so
like that.
So my first point is that given that Islam was spread through force, if we suppose
yes.
that, of course, we do not agree with that.
Okay.
But now the question is that was what was done in accordance with the teachings of Islam or
yes.
no? It was the actions of some ignorant Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
These are two different scenarios here. So
yes.
we need to do the same regarding Christians. In many cases, what is done by Christian people are according to us as Muslims against the teachings of Jesus. So we shouldn't claim that this is Christianity. No, Christianity
yes.
is a divine religion.
And we know that at the very beginning of the religion of Islam, when it was established in Medina and Mecca, Prophet Muhammad, through the language of peace, you know, peace talks, peaceful coexistence, you know, spread Islam, even in his war with the unbelievers and the polytheists of the Mecca, there was no bloodshed. Opportunity was given even to the children, to the women, old men and women to leave the city. And then, you know, through peace and peace talks, everything was spread over there. But unfortunately, after the demise of Prophet Muhammad, such, we can say, as you said, tribal,
mm-hmm.
we could say supremacy, started in spreading Islam out of the borders of Arab Peninsula.
So before going to that period, after the post-Prophet era, because you refer to some of the wars at the time of Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family, there are a couple of points to be mentioned here. Of course, in some cases, we have conflict, we have a fight between the Prophet and his enemies. But the point is that as Muslims, we believe in two types of jihad, initiative jihad and defensive one. And
yes.
we believe that, according to many scholars, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family had all the right to have both. For defensive war, it is crystal clear. But for initiative war, we have verses of the Quran in this regard as well. But now the question is that, although the Holy Prophet had all the right to have initiative war, to begin a war, But did it happen at all or not?
Yes.
Because according to many scholars, all the prophetic wars, all the wars which happened at the time of the prophet were defensive. And I believe that this is, the true understanding of the history. First of all, let me also refer to another point. Unfortunately, the Muslim historians, when they want to count the wars of the Prophet, they somehow go to extreme. They exaggerate about the number of the Prophet's war. We know that we have two types of wars, ghazwas and sariyas.
Yes.
Ghazwa refers to a war in which the Holy Prophet took part in person, and the sariya is the one that the Holy Prophet is absent. He sends some people.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Now, the point is that in many cases, no conflict happens at all. Imagine, the Battle of Tabuk, for example. The Muslim army, they go to a place and the army is not present at all. In today's terminology, it is not called a war. No conflict happened at all, but this is considered as one of the big ghazwas of the Prophet. Or for
is this inside the Arab Peninsula, isn't it?
Yeah.
So now when we are talking about the victory of Islam over other lands, is this true again?
I will come to that.
Yes.
But now the point is that because you refer to the time of the Prophet, I need to explain that when it comes to the number, because the people say that, the Holy Prophet had 70 wars, 80 wars, and it is only during 10 years in Medina, which means that each year about 8 wars, which means that every 2 months, for example, one war. So Islam is the religion of violence, but this is not true. The number of the wars, the ghazwas and sariyas, are not true based on today's standards and criteria. So, for example, the Holy Prophet sends two person in the sariya, only two person, two people to a region. And first of all, in today's terminology, is it called a war if you send two people to fight another two people or a group of people? It's not a war. In many cases, especially in sariyas, no conflict happens at all. The Holy Prophet sends some people.
Okay.
But they come to a kind of peace or reconciliation, or the enemy is not present. My point is that when it comes to the number of the prophetic wars, we shouldn't exaggerate about the number. When it comes to today's terminology and the standards, maybe we can conclude that the Holy Prophet had only three wars. A war with the polytheists, a war with Jews, and the third type with the Christians.
Okay.
And in all these cases, and in none of them, the Holy Prophet began the war.
Yes.
The war with the polytheists began from the Battle of Badr, and we know that they were the one who initiated the war.
Okay.
For the Jews, it was the Jews who broke their peace treaty with the Prophet, and then the Holy Prophet was forced to have a conflict in the case of Bani Qurayza. And of course, for example, Bani Qaynuqa, no real fight happened, but it is considered as one of the wars. And the same is true about Christians.
Okay.
So my point is that when it comes to the time of the Prophet, first of all, according to this understanding and based on today's criteria, he had only three wars. And in all these cases, the enemy began the war and the Holy Prophet only defended himself.
And we should not forget about the main goal that was set by Prophet Muhammad. Was it really we can say invitation to the religion of Islam and introducing something new to the world in order to reform a society, or no, in order to change the lifestyle of the people, act as if the Romans and the, we can say, Greeks were living, and also spreading Islam through, as you said, fighting a battlefield in order to reach more wealth. You know, these are different goals.
Exactly. And that's the point we can get from the time the Holy Prophet began sending letters to different rulers and kings of Islam. At that time, the Holy Prophet had the utmost power in the region. So why he's sending letters? So he was absolutely able to just, I mean, have a kind of fight against all these countries and
defeat them.
Nothing
happens when, for example, the king of Iran, for example, tears apart.
That's the point.
The letters of Prophet Muhammad not accepting the invitation, no war took
place. Yeah, the Holy Prophet was able, to initiate a war again. And this is, I believe, rooted in the Noble Book of Quran.
Yes.
The verses of the Quran say that religion is a matter of faith and heart. You cannot force the people to believe in your religion.
So how this path was deviated, Shaykh, after the demise of Prophet?
Yeah, but let me just share one or two verses and then I will come to that. So, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَآمَنَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كُلُّهُمْ جَمِيعًا. Had your Lord wished, all those who are on earth would have believed. أَفَأَنْتَ تُكْرِهُ النَّاسَ حَتَّى يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ. Would you then force people until they become faithful? Very, very explicitly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you cannot force the people into the religion of Islam. And the very famous verse, chapter Baqarah 256, لا إكراه في الدين, there is no compulsion in religion. And of course, when it comes to, for example, the rights of dhimmis, those people of the book who had, kind of covenant with the Islamic government, the Holy Prophet mentioned that the one who bothers a dhimmi, it is as if he or she has bothered me. And many other instructions by the Prophet about good treatment regarding the dhimmis. Now, when it comes to what you mentioned, from the time after the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family, as Shia, we believe that what was done by the first three caliphs is not in line with the Islamic teachings. So, and even I would like to go to another step.
Yes.
According to many Shia researchers, if these three caliphs did not attack some countries, maybe today we have more Muslims living on the earth. And maybe those wars, I mean, they were against the spread of Islam. Of course, I will come to this point that there are exaggeration and misunderstanding about these wars. So when it comes to the Arab attack to Persia at that time, we know that in most of the regions, Iranians, they welcome the the people of Persia, they welcome the Muslim army.
Mm-hmm.
So there are exaggerations about the number of the people who are killed, which is not true, and so on and so forth.
Even in Qadisiyah attack?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay,
in some cases, a number of Iranians were killed.
Yes.
And the people from Persia and the army from Persia. But there are unfortunately many exaggerations about that.
But all in all, do you accept that the method of spreading Islam after the demise of Prophet Muhammad at the time of the caliphs and the Umayyads was very much different from that of Prophet Muhammad, isn't it?
Sure.
Okay.
And as Shia, we are against that. Mm-hmm. We do not,
But still you believe that there are so many exaggerations, for example.
That's another story.
The Orient, okay.
Yeah, the number of the people who are killed, I mean, how the wars were conducted by Muslims.
Okay.
We have...
Let's discuss them, inshallah, in an upcoming session of the program because
and
we are
just,
done
One last point and then we'll continue the following session. As Shia, we believe that, as I mentioned, without these wars, maybe Islam could have been spread more.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to the acts done by the caliphs, there are many examples for this. I will share in the following session. And the last point is that when Imam Ali alayhi salam is selected by the people to be the fourth caliph, of course, he's the true, the first successor of the Prophet, he stops attacking any country, and this is very meaningful for us as not only Shia, rather as the Muslims.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Karimi. We will continue, inshallah, our discussion on how the religion of Islam was spread after the demise of Prophet Muhammad, whether we can call it a real victory or colonization of other lands. It was very kind of you.
Please.
And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir. Call our Islam page and Allah so God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban li aliyin wa husayin wa hasan. Li aliyin wa husayin wa hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن.